It's the Beckler and Shauna podcast, your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
It's Monday, April 8th, 2024. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
This is the Beckler and Shauna Pisscast. Back at it for another week. How are you now?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How was your weekend?
It was phenomenal.
So you did a little bowling for your birthday?
Yeah, I went snowboarding. It was a great day. Saturday was my, like, dream day. I snowboarded in the morning, and then it was a surprise powder day. It was like, it was snowing, and there was so much snow. It was actually the most snow I've seen on a resort all year. So,
wow.
But April, every time. I always think some of the best snowboarding happens in April here, and everybody else kind of forgets that. And like,
yeah, you said it's always quiet out there.
Always dead, and it's always the best snow, so it was great. Yeah, and then came back and had some bowling with some friends for a little birthday gathering. That was it. It was great.
Very nice.
What about you?
We took it pretty easy.
Yeah.
I don't know, the kids went for our first family bike ride last night. It's Brigham's birthday in, well, actually a month from today.
Nice.
But we got him a new bike and we wanted him to have it now so that he could ride it for the next month before his birthday too. So now he's got a big guy bike, shocks, gears.
Amazing.
So we can do family bike rides now. He can keep up.
That's awesome.
Shocks, pegs, lucky. You know what that's from, Sean?
No, I don't.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh. I haven't seen that movie in a very long time.
Yeah, and it's beautiful here this week. It's going to be great. On today's show, we're going to talk about the eclipse. It was eclipse day today. A new bus line in Calgary. Booze and creativity. Passive-aggressive emails. A challenge you could try at a baseball diamond if you are completely insane.
Mm-hmm.
And etymology. We went and saw the new Ghostbusters on the weekend. Something I noticed in that movie. Shauna had a... I don't even know. How do I describe this without giving it away? Basically, your friends sewered you.
Yep.
So, if you follow Shauna on social media, you probably saw this video already.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into it. See your out of context clip.
The Beckler
and Shauna podcast. We started this new little video series online that we, I think, are going to add to. We posted the first segment on the weekend.
We did.
And it's called Get to Know Beckler and Shauna. And it's stuff that if you're a diehard fan of the show, you're probably already going to know about us.
Mm-hmm.
But we figured for our social media friends, we'll share some of this stuff. And the first installment we did on the weekend were interesting things about our family history.
Yeah.
And you can view those videos on our social media accounts, the X social media accounts. But there were some people who responded to that video with interesting things about their own family history. And I thought we could just share a few of these, Shauna, because some of them are pretty damn cool.
It's really cool. And this is funny because a friend of mine did this with some like lesser known facts about her. And I know her fairly well. And it was stuff that I didn't know. And it's fun to know these kinds of things.
Great.
Right? So, yeah.
So, yeah, we'll add to this series. But here are some of the coolest ones that people shared with us about their own families.
Yeah. This one says, my paternal grandfather would get gas from eating broccoli, and my maternal grandfather smuggled booze from the States in antifreeze containers with an RV.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
So back in the rum-running days, the booze-running days.
And it's funny because I actually have some people in my family in Ireland where during the Troubles, we believe they also were smuggling things.
Yeah, you said there's
across the border.
There are people in your family who have money, but nobody will talk about where it came from.
Yes. So that's what everybody assumes happened, but nobody wants to ask either. Mm. They're just letting it go. Everyone's, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Gord said, my great-great-grandfather survived the first winter in Acadia and was one of the lucky 13 remaining when the supply ships arrived. That's intense.
That's crazy.
Similar to that sort of like adventurer spirit. This one's from Josiah. And he said, Axel Heiberg Island in Nunavut is named after my great-great-uncle. He funded the expedition with money from his business, the brewery that became Carlsberg.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I looked and that island is way up there. Like it's way, way up north. And I was asking Josiah if he ever plans to get up there because it's not easy to go there.
Yeah.
And he said it's basically just scientific outposts up there. So you kind of have to have a reason to go, I think.
Yeah.
Like a family connection, maybe?
Totally. No, it's really cool. It's funny how many people have these incredible histories involved in their family. Yeah. Like.
Yeah. This one's from Jules. My dad lied about his age to fight in the war and became an SAS officer for the British Army. Wow. He parachuted into countless countries on secret missions.
Jen said, my great-great-something Scottish uncle came to Canada in 1812 after being discharged from the army for mental exhaustion after fighting in the Napoleonic Wars.
The Napoleonic Wars.
Yeah.
Man.
Crazy.
He said, that generation was just cut from different stuff.
Sure.
Wasn't they? But everyone's got, I mean, these people would have thousands of descendants at this point, right?
Yeah.
But it is kind of cool when you can trace back through your family. It's funny though that we always talk about the people who did great things. We never talked about like the crappy. We got to have murderers back in our family trees and stuff too. No one mentions them.
Nope.
And Shauna podcast.
I almost bought a new toilet seat, Beckler. I know this is a weird thing to tell you, but it was one of those cushiony ones.
Oh no!
Have you ever
had our moms all had the '90s?
So my mom, my grandmother did though, had one growing up. The old ass gasket seat that I liked.
The ass gasket, nice tight seal around your pooper there, eh?
Yes, right. That's what. But I really enjoyed them. Okay.
Oh no!
What?
They were gross.
Why?
They were like vinyl and foam.
Yeah, but you can easily wipe them still, and they're so comfortable, and they're nice and warm in the winter. I had quite fond memories of being in my granny's bathroom with the nice little ass gasket toilet seat there.
Yeah, not for me. I was very happy when we finally replaced those.
Really?
Too. I think we went to like a hardwood after that.
It's way more comfortable on your old hog's head back there, though, isn't it? Than just a hard seat?
I don't think it is.
No?
No. I mean, how long are you sitting there, first of all?
Well, not that long, but still, it's nice. And again, it's a little warmer than, you know, when a cold toilet seat.
It has that, like, the ridge. It's got a ridge that digs into you.
You're not
crazy about that. I also, it just feels gross. Like when you sit down on it and you can feel the air let out of it, it goes like that.
So it's basically like a whoopee cushion. My grandmother's had a small crack in it as well.
Yeah, they always cracked and stuff too, didn't they?
And that was when I was a kid, I would go and I'd spend time in the bathroom and I'd just be ripping, like trying to just put my as hard as I could down on that seat. And then it was like a whoopee cushion, right? It would just escape that air. And that was really fun as a kid. That's what I would do.
Someone's in there blowing them.
Dropping my ass as hard as I could on the toilet seat all day long. Granny would be like, what are you doing in there? Oh, just having fun with the seat.
Yeah, you're right. They would always crack because the vinyl would break down and they'd crack.
Yes.
And then you'd have to sit alone with the crack, which was even less comfortable. It'd slice
your
ass.
No, it's still comfortable. And you didn't. Like, it wasn't that hard on your knees.
I'm glad that vinyl toilet seats have stayed in the 90s. Now you're trying to bring them back over here?
I'm going
to
bring it back. I'm going to go and buy a vinyl toilet. Yes, I am. Okay. I'm going to do it. And and then you're going to come over and you're going to sit your ass on it too. We're all going to whoopee cushion together.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Well, as we mentioned in the news, it's eclipse day.
It's eclipse day.
Although here in Calgary, we aren't getting much of an eclipse.
No, only a partial eclipse.
33%, I think.
Yeah.
But there are many parts of North America that will see the full thing, which is apparently going to be just incredible.
I know. We're getting it's going to look like somebody took a bite out of the cookie up there.
Yeah, if you have a means of looking directly at the sun. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the last solar eclipse that we had here? I think it was 2020. It was a partial. And like this, it wasn't like super crazy or anything. The colors got a little weird, almost like the sky gets when there's a fire.
Yeah.
Like when there's smoke.
Yeah.
And then I remember like some of the shadows were a little odd.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, I mean, if you didn't know it was happening, you may not have even realized it.
No.
This is interesting though. Last night we got an email from the school. And they said they're going to be keeping the kids inside throughout the duration of the eclipse so that nobody looks at the sun.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah. So it happens during the lunch hour. And I can read you the email here. I have the email from the school. It said between 11:48 and 1:30 p.m. tomorrow, a partial eclipse of the sun will be visible in Calgary. It is not safe to look at the sun during any type of eclipse without special equipment. Temporary or permanent retinal damage can occur, and it can happen without feeling any pain. Mm-hmm. The Calgary School District, Catholic School District has chosen to have indoor recess and lunch for all students grades 1 to 9 during the 1 hour and 50 minutes that the eclipse will be visible in Calgary.
Okay.
Since all students will remain indoors during this time, please consider sending a lunch to school with your child if they typically walk home for lunch. If your child must leave the building during this time, please caution them about the risks of looking at the sun and the potential damage to their eyes. I was like, this is the softest thing I've ever heard, I think.
It's unbelievably soft.
Beautiful day like this.
Yeah.
A cool event like a solar eclipse happening.
And you're forcing the kids, they don't trust that you're not going to stare at the sun. If you stare at the sun, that's your own problem.
That is your own problem.
That is your problem.
If you got a kid who's out there just gawking at the sun, then I don't know.
My God. That is soft. That is Vancouver soft right there.
Eclipses have been happening since the dawn of time on Earth. And only this generation can't be trusted not to burn out their retinas while staring at the sun.
That hurts my soul.
I know.
Yeah.
It's such a cool thing, too. Rather than like get excited about it, they're like, no,
we can't see it.
Indoors.
No.
Beautiful day.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I told your boys to go outside anyway.
Well, they can't. They're trapped in there.
I thought they said you must go outside. It's like, good. Send a note with them and be like, my boys are going outside.
Yeah.
Okay?
They're like, Dad, can we skip school tomorrow to see the eclipse? And if it was more of an eclipse happening here,
yes,
I would consider that for mm-hmm. sure. I know like some schools underneath the path of totality have closed.
Wow.
There are some schools that are closed today in Ontario and the like because...
I think that's cool. I think you should. And I hope that they're closed so that you can see it, like to go and take in the event.
Yeah. Are they closed for that reason? Or are they closed because they're afraid
extra soft.
Kids are going to, they won't be able to handle the power of the eclipse. They're going to stare at the sun.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Super. So I was pretty disappointed to get that email.
Yeah. That's brutal.
Like, man, you have an opportunity to get kids pumped here. Like you could have
soft,
you know, made those little things where you can view the eclipse through
there. Yeah, yeah.
Nah, keep them inside.
That's
indoor
cupboard
recess.
Butter soft.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
We got a bunch of messages from people about that, and they said, well, it's not the schools. It's, you know, parents who might complain. It's a liability issue if some kid goes out there and stares at the sun.
Ridiculous.
Burns their eyes. This is kids can get hurt in a million different ways on the playground.
Yeah.
We don't keep them inside all the time because of that. If a few of them are going to be dumb and get hurt, then
that's their problem.
That's what happens, man.
Yep.
Like, okay, don't stare at the sun. You've been warned. You
totally.
Did. Too bad. I think that's ridiculous. And actually, tomorrow, on Career Day, we're going to be interviewing a friend of ours who we actually spoke to today. You'll hear it tomorrow. Who is an eye surgeon, an ophthalmologist.
Yes.
And he mentioned the whole staring at the sun thing for the eclipse, and he thought that was super soft of the schools too.
Yeah. Well, he said that the chances of actually, like, really damaging your eyes.
Yeah, he said most people, you can't stare at the sun long enough to do real damage to your eyes.
You really would have to, you have no idea what's going on with your eyes to make that, to actually do damage, and stare that long. So, I don't know.
Yeah. He did describe a couple scenarios where that could potentially happen, but it wasn't kids staring at the eclipse.
No.
You'll hear that on tomorrow's podcast. It was a really fascinating conversation. I mean, this guy he's one of my best buds. But I learned a lot from this conversation, too, that I had never talked to him about. So.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That'll be on Career Day tomorrow. The Beckler and Shauna podcast is brought to you by Shane Holmes. You've heard from Shane Wenzel on the podcast before, and I mentioned that I follow him on social media as well. He posts some interesting stuff in there, the perspective on the housing crisis from somebody in the home building industry. And there was a thread on the weekend where he was going back and forth with some people about the challenges that the country is facing and you know, how many times the building industry has felt like they've been left out of the process.
Right.
I feel like they potentially have some of the solutions but aren't included in those conversations. It was a fascinating read, but in the replies, there were quite a few people who mentioned that they live in Shane Holmes. They have built custom Shane Holmes and how impressed they were with the quality and the professionalism from all the trades involved with Shane Holmes.
That's awesome.
So, and I mean, no one's putting those people up to it, right?
Nope.
So those are real life testimonies on Twitter where usually everyone's just mean.
Yeah,
so.
Totally. That's nice.
Yeah, that is. It was
refreshing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Learn more about Shane Holmes on their website at shaneholmes.com. Shane Holmes.
The better way to build.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Where do you draw the line, Beckler, on when you tell somebody that something is amiss? Whether it's that they've had food stuck in their teeth or maybe toilet paper stuck to their shoe.
Yes.
Do you alert strangers to these things or no?
Typically, no.
Okay.
Typically, no.
What about friends? And does that matter? Or do you even let it slide with friends sometimes?
That's a good question.
Everybody seems to have a different gauge with this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I posted this video recently, and you can put, I'm just about to post it on our social media, but you can see it on Instagram and stuff too. But yeah, this was what happened when I went traveling with a few of my closest guy friends and we've been friends for a long time. And my makeup got all over my face because basically we were snowboarding at the time. I'd taken my goggles off because they were fogging. And of course it was damp and my makeup was not waterproof. And I have just black mascara all over my face. And no one told me the entire day that I looked like that. They just looked at me the whole day and just, this is fine.
I also,
it's good.
People need to understand that you're not underselling how much your makeup had, like you posted this video and I saw it
mm-hmm.
and it looks like you were in Joker cosplay. Like it was,
I look like a sad mime. Yes, I look like I have mime makeup all over my face from crying as a mime. Like it wasn't just a little bit of smudging.
No, it was substantial.
Oh yeah, and a little bit of smudging like that is totally fine. But what happened was they didn't tell me, and I went the whole day, okay, and this was all over my face, and then I looked at a picture that we had taken 4 hours earlier and saw it all over my face, and I was absolutely mortified. And I had gone into the cafeteria, and it was packed, and there was people that passed me all day. And my guy friends they sat right in front of me eating fries and staring at the sad mime and just didn't say a word. Didn't say a word.
You said you had ordered a drink from a cute bartender.
I did.
And like,
I was walking. Man, oh my
I wouldn't
God.
Have said anything either, though. Like, even as bad as it was, I would have been like, I don't know, maybe she's going for this. Maybe the sad clown look is what she's after.
I mean, and that is the worry, right? Because I do understand. Imagine these guys were like, dude, you got something on your face. And I was like, oh, I meant to do that.
Oh, then they'd be horrified.
Then you'd be, yeah, okay. So maybe that's it. They know me well enough to know that I don't just go around looking like the Joker for fun, though.
Maybe you're trying something new.
I woke up that morning, was like, we're going to give this a go. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Oh, my Lord. It's so bad.
But yeah, I think like if it's a good friend and I can catch it right away and be like, hey, you got something here. Go like this.
Yeah.
I'll mention it. But if you don't get it right away, you can't bring it up later.
Yes, you can. Even if you don't at first, you have to do it later. It doesn't matter.
I don't know.
Because they won't know. They won't know that you took that long to tell them. Okay. You just have to act as if it just happened. Okay.
So with like, you, they would have been like, hey, you got something here. And you would have been like, where? I would have been like, everywhere. The whole face.
Shauna, you need to take a trip to the bathroom. It's going to take you some time.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Just last week, you and I were talking on the show about how we haven't been to the movie theater for a while. Neither of us.
No, it's bad. It's been forever. I don't, like, years.
Well, we took the kids to a movie on Friday night. So it was the first time I'd been to the theater in a while, too. We went to see the new Ghostbusters movie, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Okay, I really want to see that.
It was a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, they loved it. McKenna and I had a good time.
Okay.
Got our snacks and everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, forgot how much I enjoyed going to the movie theater.
Man, I want to go.
Yeah.
But I mean, let's be honest. The reason I go to the theater is for the snacks.
I think that's true for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's for the popcorn, and then I put my M&M peanuts in my popcorn, and I mix it up, and that's why I'm there.
You do the M&Ms in the popcorn, mm-hmm. Hey?
Sure do. It's the best.
I think I had finished my snacks before the previews were over.
This is do they still have free popcorn refills anywhere?
That's a good question. I don't know. I didn't go back for more.
Because we used to. I used to basically hammer down one bag before the movie started, and then you refill for the movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The new Ghostbusters was great, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, it was lots of fun. There's
I do want to see that.
So many famous people to pop up in it, and like people from the old films and stuff. So
cool.
It's a good time. There was one type of ghost that I think is new to this Ghostbusters movie, and it's called a possessor, and it can possess inanimate objects. So like at one point it's in a vacuum cleaner, and then it's in like, this isn't a big spoiler or anything. At one point it possesses a pizza. And the pizza starts flopping around on the table.
Oh my God.
You know what that is, Shauna?
It's a ghost pizza.
That is a ghost pizza right there.
So Ghostbusters now has a ghost pizza.
And I had a ghost pizza experience once.
God.
I don't know if I ever told you this story
or
not.
Yeah, you did. Yep.
You've heard the ghost pizza story?
500 times. At least, actually. We're probably up into the thousands.
So,
To
see this on the big screen, I was like, yeah,
wow.
I know what it's like to have a supernatural pizza.
You should write them. You should write the people who made that movie and be like, I have an experience.
You owe me money.
Yeah.
This I had the original thing. Ghost pizza experience.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Etymology with Shauna.
A friend said knapsack on the weekend.
My knapsack.
And I was like, why is this a thing? Why do we call them knapsacks? Like, I don't ever use knapsack. I always will say backpack. But I know
too.
A lot of people who say knapsack. And it's actually a Canadian term.
Is it?
It's something that we use in Canada, and not many other places use knapsack.
It's a sack for your nap.
It is. I looked into it. It is actually of old German origin. The word was knapsack with a Z in there at one point. But it literally means eat bag. Nappen means eat. So eat or bite is what that means. So it means eat bag or bite bag.
Oh, I thought it was like a different word for your back.
No.
Kind of like, you know, like the nape of your neck. You've heard of that?
No.
Doesn't have anything to do with that.
No, it's a bite bag. It's a bite bag.
It's a food bag.
But napping, the word, actually means eat or bite. And it was supposed to sound like the noises your mouth makes when you chew. Napping. It's the napping, 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 napping. That's where that came from. So onomatopoeia.
I don't know if this came up or not, but is napkin related to that at all?
I looked into it because I thought it was too. I was like, that makes perfect sense. No. Has nothing to do with that.
Okay. Yeah.
In that regard, I guess nap means the cloth, essentially tablecloth. That's where we get napkin from. It means like cloth. Yeah. So anyway, not related, but a knapsack is a bite bag. And the reason that we called it that was because back way back when, they think it was because soldiers would have their nap bag, their bite bag with their food in it.
Right.
And that's what they used to carry on their back, was their food.
Responsible for carrying your rations as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So they called it bite bag because of the food in or eating bag.
Oh, the old knapsack for having a quick nap.
Bite bag. Yeah. Also, why is a sleeping bag not called a knapsack? That's what we
should
be.
That is a really good question,
Shauna. That's what we should be, right? Yeah. That makes way more sense.
I'm into my knapsack.
It's a knapsack. Yes. Okay.
That's great.
Etymology with Shauna. The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
I saw a funny baseball post on the weekend, and it said, I'll just read the post for you word for word. There's something about the 999 challenge. 9 beers, 9 dogs, 9 innings. You have to want it.
Oh.
You can't walk into the stadium thinking it's going to be a breeze. It will be tough, but those who want it get it. You have to be strong and fight mentally. This is the 999 challenge.
I've never heard of the 999 challenge before. Now I want to do it.
Nor have I. I think it sounds insane. 9 beers, 9 hot dogs throughout the 9 innings of a baseball game.
The beer part is what's enticing. The hot, there's no way I could eat 9 wieners along. Oh, no, that would hurt.
That is a lot.
It's a lot.
And to do both of those at the same time?
Yeah, no.
So I think I told you last fall, I allowed my buddies to talk me into this stupid Danish drinking challenge.
Yes.
Where you're supposed to drink 15 beer over 5 hours. Mm-hmm. And I think I was the only guy in our group that didn't complete it, and I still died.
Yeah. We've talked about, I've done the Century Club before.
I've heard of that.
100 shots of beer in 100 minutes. I've done that one. And I really wanted to do the Danish beer drinking challenge with you. Your friend, he's actually a friend of the show, and he invited me. He was, but I couldn't make it. I want to do that.
So that, 15 beer in 5 hours, that was 3 beer an hour. I did the math on this. An average MLB game these days is about 2 hours and 38 minutes. It used to be longer.
Yep.
But since they brought in the pitch clock, it's down to 2 hours, 38 minutes.
Yep.
So the pace is a little quicker. It's a beer every 17 and a half minutes as opposed to a beer every 20 minutes like we did.
Mm-hmm.
But the total volume is less. I think you're right, though. I think the dogs is the more difficult part.
That's for sure. That's a lot of hot dogs. Oh,
I don't think I've ever put back 9 hot dogs with buns.
Nope.
In a sitting before.
Never. No.
I remember that.
Yeah. Obviously, I don't think many people have, you know, just sit there and dummy 9 hot dogs. Although it is hilarious because we've talked about this before, how the Blue Jays, they break these records on how many of these hot dogs they sell when they do those loony dog nights.
Yep.
And it's insane. And there are some people who do brag about, you know, downing 14 or 15 of those hot dogs, which is crazy.
That'd be the night to do it. So you didn't go totally broke.
Yes, definitely.
Also, if you're going to be doing this, I mean, I don't even see how it's possible. 9 dogs, and then to wash it down with over 4 liters of beer over the course of a baseball game.
The problem is, I love a good challenge, and the longer we're talking about this, I'm like, I want to give this a go now.
If you do this and you don't have an aisle seat, you're a jerk.
It's true.
Because you're going to be up a few times.
Yep.
Although maybe you don't have time to go to the bathroom because you're on the clock. You got to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
You could do it in a minor league game. That might be the way to do
it. Wear a diaper.
That's
what you got to do.
I think that's worse than getting up and pushing through the aisle.
Absolutely. By a mile.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
You know what is maybe the worst passive aggressive email you can get, Beckler? One that says, as per my last email.
Oh, yeah. Basically says, you idiot. I already mentioned this in my last email. You absolute donkey.
Yeah. Instead of just saying or reiterating what you said. No, as per my last email.
If you read it, you would know.
Ooh, that one. You hear that. You're just like, you want to, I don't know. You just want to cower when you see that. It's funny because I used to work with somebody who I got along with really well, but she was one of the most passive aggressive people in emails that I've ever witnessed in my life. And it's too bad because if you ever talked in person to her, she was great. But for some reason, when it came to her shooting emails, she just really liked to sneak in some passive aggression.
Do you think that she knew what she was doing? Or did she just need to work a little bit on her email tone?
Maybe, although there were times where she would say, as per my last email, and then she would screenshot the last email and highlight the point that you missed.
Yeah, that's passive aggressive. That's super passive aggressive.
Like, I don't think that that's, you know, not intentional.
Did she sign her emails, those type of emails, with regards and then her name? Because if you put regards,
that's another one.
Not even kind regards.
No,
just regards.
Yeah, she didn't that I recall, but damn, that's another bad one.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
A friend of mine is a graphic designer, and they always have people in to talk to them or like motivate them creatively, whatever. And one comment that this person they had in recently said, all the best ideas are on a napkin for a reason. And they say that because basically they think that the best ideas truly come when you've had a couple drinks, you're out at a bar or something, and people will be writing on napkins because they'll have a couple drinks and then they'll be like, oh, I have this idea. And then they'll start writing on the napkins as they're out. And there's this kind of belief in the creative fields that they're saying like, yeah, after a couple drinks is truly when we get our most creative sometimes.
Which is kind of frustrating because like you could sit there and think and not come up with anything good.
Yeah.
And then the best ideas will just hit you out of nowhere and there's no way to like recreate that or make it happen.
No.
But you're saying like a little bit of help from booze?
That's what they were saying. And they were saying it is funny because with creative fields like that, there are a lot of times where if you're kind of stuck, maybe have a drink and it'll help. We've talked about this before, how this seems to be a thing with a few different professions where if you have a couple drinks, it's sometimes seen as it can help you. It can take that edge off a little bit and make you do your job better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough to say that because, of course, booze isn't good for you, and especially when you drink in excess. But a friend of ours is a programmer, and there's an actual term that they use. It's the Balmer Peak. And this shows that after a couple of drinks, programmers are at their best. And
like computer programmers.
Computer programmers will. After a couple drinks, and they've actually done studies on it, and it shows that, yes, this is true. After a certain level of booze, it helps them be more efficient at their jobs.
Like before you're really impaired, but you're just sort of like not quite as uptight.
Yeah.
I mean, altering your perception has been happening forever, right? And so many creatives, you know, like where would music be without drugs?
Yeah. That's honestly,
all of my favorite musicians were on drugs.
Yeah. But so, I think when it comes to this magic, you know, one or two drink formula, it really is that it just takes the overthinking out of things. I think that's really what it comes down to, right? Is that it takes that little bit of the edge off. Maybe you are a little looser than you were, and that's why you'll perform better.
We found that too. We've joked about how like you have good shows if you're a little bit hungover because you're a little less
uptight.
Yeah, you're like, I'm just gonna say it.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm too tired to worry about it. I'm just gonna say it. Yep.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Did you see any of the news about the new bus line that's coming to Alberta, Shauna?
No.
So McKenna was telling me about it. It's called FlixBus.
Okay.
And it was advertising round trips to Edmonton for as low as $5.
Oh, I did hear about that. Yes.
I thought it was too good to be true, but McKenna pulled it up and sure enough, she found some fares to Edmonton and back for like $14.
Yeah. I think it's probably just like a promo for early on right now to try and encourage people. But yes, it's still sweet.
Yeah, because I don't see how that would be sustainable.
No.
I mean, like, if you're driving yourself, you'd easily spend over $100 in gas, depending on what you drive, right?
Totally,
and back. But I was reading more about it in an article that the Herald had last week. And so this is the company that acquired Greyhound a few years ago.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know how they'll operate that cheaply for long, like you said. But if they can make it work, I think that's great.
Yeah.
Bus travel seems to be hard to make a go of these days.
It does.
Because, like, the Red Arrow still operates, but, you know, Greyhound doesn't. I know STC in Saskatchewan closed down a few years ago.
Right.
But it's a good option for people who, you know, can't afford to fly, don't have a vehicle.
And for somewhere like Edmonton, you know, it's like flying there it's kind of too short to fly.
Yeah, you get there quicker by bus.
Probably. And yeah, that's it. You can actually do work while you go on a bus, which is great.
Yeah. I think the Red Arrow has Wi-Fi, which is real nice.
I know.
I was wondering if we had ever made bus travel sexy.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go deep into the archives. We did not. We made school buses sexy once.
Okay.
When they were looking for school bus drivers. I think a lot of this will still work. But this is from many years ago, so.
Oh, my God, it's so long. How do you maneuver it?
Oh, you're so forward. Put out a sign and flashed your headlights at me. I got the hint.
Oh, that spot is way too tight. I'll get stuck if I try to get in there.
You mind if I hop on? And don't stop. I want to ride it all night long.
It smells like a lot of people have been in here.
Equipment in the back. Open up that back door as wide as you can and get it in there. One at a time, though. Don't toss it all in at once. Only so much can get in there.
Oh my God. It just kept going.
You've been listening to the Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's Alternative, X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have Beckler and Shauna downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.